As Masons, we take our identity as men of faith seriously, even though we may come from a variety of faith traditions. The timeless poetry of the holy book called the Psalms speaks words of wisdom to all traditions. From Psalm 121 comes these helpful, hopeful images. I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where will come my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He that keeps you will not slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time on and forevermore.
The role of the workman has been called, and one master mason has not answered to his name. He has laid down the working tools of the craft, and with them he has left that mortal part for which he no longer has use. His labors here below have taught him to divest his heart and conscience of the vices and superfluities of life, thereby fitting his mind as a living stone for that spiritual building, that house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Strengthened in his labors here by faith in God and confident expectation of immortality, he has sought admission to the celestial lodge above.
Almighty Father, into thy hands we commend the spirit of our departed brother.
Thomas Mark Foxon, born at Boston on June 24, 1929. Entered as an entered apprentice June 10, 1963. Passed as a fellow craft February 10, 1964. Raised as a master mason March 9, 1964. Departed to the celestial lodge above December 8, 2020. A master mason for 56 years. Again, from the Book of Psalms, we pay heed to the wisdom and hope of the comforting words of the 23rd Psalm.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Most Holy One, we thank you today for the gift of life, especially as we remember the life of Brother Mark Foxon. We thank you for the affirmation that you never leave us alone, but accompany us, even through the valley of the shadow of death. May the gathering as Masonic brethren at this holy time reaffirm our interconnectedness with each other and offer consolation and hope to our brothers, family, and friends. Amen.
So mote it be. At such a time as this, the basic teachings of our fraternity, brotherly love, relief, and truth, are present to us with renewed force. Our love for each other, particularly Brother Mark Foxon, compels us to be here to recognize a life well lived and the importance of our brother's relationship to us. Our commitment to relief urges us to reach out in sympathy to family and friends and offer, in love, a continuation of Masonic relationship even in the absence of our recently departed brother. And our commitment to truth is acknowledged in our affirmation that we are people of faith who seek knowledge across a broad spectrum of human endeavors, from science and history to religion and culture, and that in all of our seeking, that which is holy and good is present in all things and will never disappoint us. This lambskin or white leather apron is an emblem of innocence and the badge of a mason. It reminds us of that purity of life and conduct which we strive to attain and live out as Masons. A life enabled by reliance on divine providence and which will help open a door to the celestial lodge above where the supreme architect of the universe presides. This evergreen is an emblem of a faith and hope that a part of us continues on even after the chilling blast of death and springs into a newness of life in realms beyond the grave that never end.
The roll of the workman has been called. One brother answered not. He's passed on to another place and left us deep in thought. With earthly toils completed and work on earth now done, in the undiscovered country his eternity has begun. Our brother is with the grand architect, yet not entirely gone. He will forever be with us while his memory lives on. He shared his happiness with us, joys and jubilations. He shared his disappointments too, trials and tribulations. As sands of time pass swiftly by, you'll see that empty chair. Think about our brother and the brotherhood we share. Whether that chair holds gladness or is lonely with despair, consider the sprig of acacia and the brother who once sat there. That empty chair, it speaks to us in a gentle, quiet tone, reminding us fraternally that we are never alone. May it be our inspiration for his eternity, and may harmony and peace prevail. God bless his memory. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Amen.
So mote it be.
It is good to come to the house of the Lord for worship and reflection today as we celebrate and thank God for the life of Thomas Mark Foxon. Mark loved this church, did so many things to raise money, repair the buildings, and beautify the grounds. So it is only fitting that we gather here today. Come as family and friends, come as people of faith, trusting in the promise of eternal life. Come now, so that together we may celebrate, remember, and worship. Please pray with me. Dear God, we pray we will feel your presence here now. Through your comforting spirit, may we be sustained in hope as we remember with thankful hearts and minds the ways that Mark touched our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name, and now join in praying the prayer that Jesus taught as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Mark loved music and had several favorite hymns. And we're going to sing a couple of those this afternoon. The first is For the Beauty of the Earth, and that's printed on an insert in the bulletin today. And we'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 3. And I invite you to remain seated as we sing those verses. Selected verses from the Gospel according to John, chapters 3, 11, and 14 for this afternoon. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. As Jesus neared his own earthly death, he encouraged his friends and followers to face death not as an end, but as a beginning. With these words, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do not be worried. Have faith in God and have faith in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. I would not tell you this unless it was true. I am going there to prepare a place for each of you. And after I've done this, I will come back and take you with me. And then we will be together. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, said Jesus. I give you peace, the kind of peace that only I can give. It is not like the peace that this world can give. So do not be worried or afraid. Some wonderful promises from Jesus in those scripture verses. And we have many memories of Mark. And I know each one that came today has your own memory. And if you would like to share a memory, I'm going to invite you to come forward. I'm going to invite Scott, grandson Scott, to come first and share at the microphone on the podium. And others after Scott that might like to share a brief memory, I invite you to do that this afternoon.
In the interest of full disclosure, I have not been able to make it through this once without sobbing. So Martha has a copy if I have to tap out. But you may want to get your tissues ready. This was a poem that that Gramp was very fond of. So, God looked around his garden and found an empty place. He then looked down upon the earth. And saw your tired face. He put his arms around you and lifted you to rest. God's garden must be beautiful. He always takes the best. He knew that you were suffering, and he knew you were in pain. He knew that you would never get well on earth again. He saw the road was getting rough and the hills were hard to climb. So he closed your weary eyelids and whispered, "Peace be thine." It broke our hearts to lose you. But you didn't go alone. For part of us went with you the day God called you home. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Beautiful poem of God's garden, where Mark now is. Anyone else have a memory they'd like to share? Please come forward.
Sure. I think you all know me. I'm Paul Bakey. I have a lot of great memories of Uncle Mark that I've been kind of going over in my head. Uncle Mark was a little brother to my mom, Faith, and their other big sisters, Betty and Nan. Mom and Uncle Mark had an affection for fun and hijinks. I remember every year they would send each other birthday presents, and I think Aunt Dottie was involved with this in some way to see who could be the silliest one. And there was some major silliness going on with that. What I remember most about Uncle Mark was his kindness and patience, and particularly with children. Growing up in a Navy family, we moved around a lot, but one source of stability for me was the summers that we would come up and meet at Ocean Park and camp out at Wagon Wheels with Uncle Mark, Aunt Dottie, Jeff Tom, my brother Rick, eventually my brother David, who we used as a girl attractant. Of course, we didn't know what to do when they paid attention to us, so we just ran, but he was good at his part. But Uncle Mark, to me, was the chief outdoorsman. Because we would always be there in the summer at the camp, and I figured he must live in a cabin or something because he always took care of all the camping and the fire and everything that had anything to do with the camping. But of course, he's a lot more than that. And then, of course, I remember going down to the beach, and it was Uncle Mark who got all the kids involved in some of the best memories I have. Making ball runs at low tide, digging a hole in the sand, and decorating it as a boat, and putting driftwood and seaweed on it with a windshield in the front. And so when the tide came in, we thought it was a boat that was going out to sea rather than the ocean coming in at us. I try to do that today with the kids, but I'm nowhere near the master. I'm just trying. So anyway, I also remember Uncle Mark as a leader of the parades. He was great with kids, and whenever there were a group of idle kids, he would pick up a pot and a spoon or a whistle, and then he would start a parade around with everybody. And all the kids loved it, and the parents and adults loved it too, I think. But he was the leader of the parade. I was fortunate to continue my relationship with Uncle Mark into adulthood. We lived in Central Florida, so Aunt Betty and Uncle Mark always had to go by us to go vacation, so they had no excuse not to visit with us. And it was always, of course, Uncle Mark driving behind the wheel every time. And so we shared a lot of great beach picnics and dinners together, and continued our Ocean Park tradition with our kids and their kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. And we're going to go up there in a couple weeks, and he'll be greatly missed, but absolutely well-remembered for everything he brought to us. In all this time, I saw him with consistent kindness, positive attitude, always doing the right thing by other people. As an adult, I realized that if your better angels had a stronger say, most men, including me, would want to be more like Uncle Mark. At the end, when Aunt Dottie called me to tell me what happened, she told me what we all know very well. He was a good man. It sounds simple, but I think it has a deep meaning. He treated everyone with respect and dignity as he would want to be treated. He was entirely dedicated to the well-being of his family. He had a tremendous positive attitude that lifted people up around him, including me. He did the right thing by people just because it was the right thing to do and not because he expected anything in return. He was a second father to me, and I will always be grateful for his influence and presence in my life. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Anyone else have a reflection they'd like to share? If not, then let us reflect on scripture that I read, a poem that Scott read, or memories of Mark as we listen to a medley of hymns played on the organ.
Thank you.
saw a few smiles for that last song. Mark truly was a saint, and he's marching into heaven now. Thomas Mark Foxon was born on Monday, June 24th, 1929, in Boston, to Thomas and Anne Foxon. He grew up as a middle child, the only son, with two older and one younger sisters. I imagine he had, he got a lot of attention, I'm sure. In the children's poem, Monday's Child, a person is described by the day of the week on which he or she was born. And this poem, I believe, is a true reflection of Mark's life, for it says, Monday's child is fair of face. Now, authors have described children born on a Monday as being beautiful on the inside and out. They are sensitive, adaptive, and kind, and their smile makes everyone happier. That describes, I believe, in a small part, the Mark Foxon that we each knew and loved. Mark was employed as the New England sales manager at McKesson Chemical. He was former president of the New England Institute of Food Technologies and the New England Chemical Club. Mark was an over 50-year master mason, member of the Masons, an advisor to the Reading de Molay. He volunteered his time, talent, and treasure in so many ways. And I'm not listing all of them, but there are several in the obituary printed in the bulletin. Mark truly was a lifelong member of this church. From being enrolled in Anna Hanbridge's cradle roll to the day he was called to his eternal home. He became an official member in 1945 as a teenager when he was baptized in this baptistry. He was an extremely active member throughout his lifetime. Mark worked very closely with former pastor, the late Reverend Dr. George Tews. One of the highlights of that time was this congregation's 175th anniversary celebration, where both the Tews and Foxon families dressed up in period clothing, and Mark and Dottie arrived at the church by horse and carriage one Sunday morning. Mark's heart was as a trustee at this church, being concerned about both the financial and property health of the church. Mark had a knack for fundraising, if you didn't know it. He once told me he always wanted people to have some fun when being asked to pledge and or contribute. As soon as one campaign was over, I think Mark, with the support of Dottie, began thinking about the next one. Mark's ingenuity and inventive ideas inspired us to give towards many projects, annual stewardship campaigns, as well as special fundraising ventures. His wit and passion moved people to give. A few themes over the years were, God loves a cheerful giver. Lawns of faith, when everyone in the congregation received grass seeds and dirt to plant their own lawn. And we had a styrofoam cup that we put it in. And yes, as it grew, we could cut it off with scissors as our lawn was growing. And we were encouraging to give money to the church so our lawn here, as far as the church congregation itself, could continue to grow. Another theme was, does money grow on trees? And we each received money plant seeds that year. Another was, let's keep singing while the bells are ringing. This campaign took place during our capital campaign for repairs to the bell tower entitled, Let the Bells Ring. Another was an acronym, GLAD. God loves all doers, where smiley faces were prominently displayed all over the place. One of his other stewardship campaigns focused on apples, and we were all treated to a slice of homemade apple pie during coffee hour one Sunday. Mark also spearheaded campaigns to raise funds to paint the sanctuary, replace the boiler, re-landscape the lawn, and many other projects around the church. One year, he challenged us to make sure our Heavenly Father's house was spruced up for Father's Day. Mark also headed up a series of successful dumpster days. And afterward, we could proclaim that our Heavenly Father's house was a little less cluttered. Mona Hatch, a church member and friend of Mark and Dottie's, who happened to pass away last year, just 2 weeks after Mark, wrote a paraphrase of the 23rd Psalm in their honor when the church recognized Mark and Dottie as laypersons of the year in 2007. Mona focused her writings on the successful dumpster days, and her writing is entitled The Lord is Our Shepherd, First Baptist Edition. Mark and Dottie are our shepherds. We shall not want. As they lead us to the dumpster in the parking lot, they also lead us to the attic. They restore our souls with a smile. So they lead us through the paths of the basement and furnace rooms for our own sake. As we sweep through the dust and cobwebs of First Baptist, we will not fear them, for Mark and Dottie are with us. Your coffee and brownies, they comfort us. You prepare PB&J sandwiches for us in the presence of a job well done. You anoint our hands with blisters and our backs with many aches. Surely goodness and mercy shall be with us as we follow Mark and Dottie all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dottie and Mark were also always willing to staff the coffee and donut table at the church fairs. For many years, Mark spent countless hours in the baking sun working on the church grounds, cleaning, pruning, and planting. Mark also enjoyed travel. He and Dottie visited places and made friends all around the globe. And in retirement, Mark and Dottie began spending winters in Florida. And as they did this, they did not go on hiatus from church attendance while away from New England. They found a church home in Florida and became active when they were there. And I know Mark did a lot of volunteering there as well. But have you noticed how many times I've said Mark and Dottie? It just seems natural to have them linked. They did so many things together. In fact, Dottie told me this afternoon they were linked at the hip. And they shared so much over their 69 years of marriage. And I understand that Mark passed away the day after your 69th anniversary. One other organization that they were very active in was the Mr. and Mrs. Fellowship here at the church, where they worked tirelessly on the annual bean suppers and all the entertainment that followed those suppers. Several years ago, Dottie gave Mark an anniversary card with the following poem in it, which Mark carried in his wallet from that day on. I hope I can get through this, Scott. You did a good job. I hope I can get through this one. When I said I do those years ago, what was I really saying? I was saying that I loved you, of course. But looking back, I can see there was more to those small words than I realized. Those years ago, I was saying that you gave me something no one else could. You gave me a feeling that even if life was sometimes hard, even if it sometimes took a turns we didn't like, it would always be a good life, just because we were lucky enough to be in it together. Those two small words, I do, meant that I loved you. but they had hidden in them something deeper and truer, a hope, a promise, and a faith in forever. Mark and Dottie, Dottie and Mark, whichever way we say it, they were a dynamic couple that welcomed new family members, weathered storms, and served the Lord together because they said, "I do," to each other 69 years ago. Even with all of his church and volunteer activities, Mark's greatest passion was his family. He remained close to his sisters even in adulthood. He was a devoted husband and father, and he delighted to be able to spend time with his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. But Mark also suffered one of the greatest losses any parent can endure, the death of his beloved daughter, Joy Elizabeth. His sisters, Betty, Faith, and Nancy, and his beloved grandson, Tommy. But having suffered those losses did not make Mark lose his faith in Jesus Christ. Earlier, I read the words of Jesus as recorded in John's Gospel. "In my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you." Even though we are saddened that we will not physically see Mark again, we can be comforted that because of his faith, Mark is in the loving, eternal presence of his God. This fact reminds me of the following words from the operetta, The Student Prince. "I'll walk with God from this day on. His helping hand I'll lean upon. There is no death, though eyes grow dim. There is no fear when I'm near to him. I'll lean on him forever, and he'll forsake me never. I'll walk with God. I'll take his hand. I'll talk with God. He'll understand. I'll pray to him, each day to him, and he'll hear the words that I say. And I'll never walk alone while I walk with God." Mark did indeed walk and talk with God while on this earth, and he is now in the loving eternal presence of God. We also can walk and talk with God each day of our earthly lives. And if we do, then God has promised through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we have the hope and promise of eternal life with him. It's been over 6 months since we have been able to gather and celebrate Mark's life. I imagine that he is now in the presence of God, still hearing the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Live in the joy of your master." And even though we are saddened by our separation from Mark, may we rejoice that he is now at home with our eternal God. Our lives are like a pebble tossed into a pond, leaving ever-widening rings and ripples of influence. Long after a stone disappears from the surface, the ripples continue. Just so, after a person passes from our sight, the impact of their knowledge, values, sacrifices, and faith live on in those whom he or she touched. It's been said that life is like a relay race, where the baton of values, character, and faith are passed from one generation to another. The runner ahead passes the baton on, runs by our side for a while, and then we pass the baton on to those who come after us one by one. Mark Foxon has passed his baton of values, character, and faith to each of us who knew him. It is our responsibility to carry the baton as we keep Mark alive in our memory. For someday we too shall embark on our final journey to go and be with God. We'll most assuredly be greeted by Mark with a broad smile and a warm embrace. Until that day, we must live with the memories of the many ways he touched our lives and thank God for the wonderful gift of his life and his abiding love. Please pray with me. God of grace and love, we thank you for the gift of Mark Foxon's life. We are grateful for the 91 years he lived among us, for the love he shared with his family and friends, for his brave defense of our country, dedication to his job, all his volunteer efforts, his devotion to this church, and his love of nature. Holy God, continue to comfort Dottie, Jeff, Tom, and Wendy, and the rest of Mark's extended family and friends with fond memories of his life. We still feel loss, O God, because Mark is not with us, but we are strengthened and encouraged by knowing that though he is absent from us, he is present with you. We pray that you also would be present to us, O God. Even though it has been 6 months since Mark's passing, we still miss him. Bring to us that peace which is beyond our reach to create for ourselves. Bring hope that is the gift of your own son's life. Bring light for the dark moments of sorrow that still attempt to overwhelm us. And bring us assurance that Mark is at peace with you. Remind us each day, O God, that we can continue on our earthly journey, facing the uncertainties of our tomorrows, because Jesus Christ lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Before pronouncing the benediction, on behalf of the family, I would like to thank you for coming today and invite you to stay to enjoy light refreshments and greet each other in the church's Judson Chapel, the room directly behind the sanctuary. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity of worshiping you and celebrating the life of Mark Foxon. As we conclude this service and prepare for a time of refreshments and fellowship, we ask for your continued blessings on us. We pray that the food and the conversation we share may strengthen us and nurture us. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.